Daniel 4:17. He says this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of man. That's an unusual thing for God to say, but that's what he said. And so there is coming a judgment of nations. The Lord Jesus in the Olivet Discourse, in verse 31, he says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now, there's a great deal today of discussion about this passage of Scripture, whether he's talking about the corporate nation or whether the individuals in the nation. I'm not about to get interested in that. Regardless of what it is, it's nations that are brought before him, and the nations are to be judged. And it's something that the Old Testament had made very clear, that God was going to judge the Gentiles. We are told in Isaiah 60, verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And then in chapter 61, he says, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. So that all the way through here we see the judgment of Gentiles, and here it is mentioned. Now, the strange thing about it to me is they are judged on an unusual issue, and that is their relation to Israel, and they didn't know about it. They say, well, when did I see you hungry, and when did I see you thirsty? I don't remember doing that. And the question naturally arises and can well be asked, what matter, what issue is of such great world importance that it can determine the destiny of nations, and yet the nations don't know anything about that? Well, here it is. It is their relationship to the nation Israel. And no nation today recognizes God's going to judge them on that kind of basis. And yet he is, and that's the basis on which he will judge Gentile nations. This is a tremendous thing, and it is something that I have to admit is just not considered very much today. But when God chose these people, he said at the very beginning in Deuteronomy 7:6, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And there it is, by the way, in black and white. And that's the thing that God says, that he intends to judge the nations of the world. And that takes place at the end of the great tribulation when he comes to set up his kingdom here upon this earth. A judgment of nations, those that shall enter the kingdom. I'd like very much to conclude the series that we've been giving now for some time in our introductions on the subject of the judgments that are mentioned in the Bible. We've had, for instance, the judgment of the cross. That is where Christ bore your sin and my sin. That is called a plenary, substitutionary death of Christ. He died a judgment, a death. Then the second judgment we saw is self-judgment. If we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. A Christian is permitted to judge himself. And if he does not, then God will judge. Then you have the chastening judgments of God. And then the fourth one was the judgment of believers' works. That is to see whether we receive a reward or not. Then we had the judgment of angels. And then the judgment of the nation Israel. And then the judgment of the nations, the Gentile nations of the world. Now, today, we want to see the judgment of the great white throne. And this is the judgment that, very candidly, is conceived by the average person or the average Christian as being the one judgment that's out there in the future, and that it's the only one. Well, the interesting thing, the subjects of the judgment of the great white throne are not saved people at all. It's the unsaved. They're going to be judged according to their works. You see, they wanted it that way. How many people you meet today that will tell you that they're working for their salvation? They believe it's doing good. A man told me, he says, why, I am doing good. God couldn't judge against me. Well, the very interesting thing is that we find out that those that are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are present for this judgment, but those that are in the Lamb's Book of Life are not present at this judgment. Now, I'm going to turn to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. We've yet to come to this, but we will later on. And I read, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And that's now Revelation 20, verse 11. And there's no more solemn scene in the entire Word of God than this right here. And it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now the unsaved man says he wants to be judged according to his works. He's willing to stand before God. And the interesting thing is, God's going to be very fair to him. He is going to stand before God, and he'll be judged according to his works. But nobody gets saved there, because works can't save you. God has made that so clear that you can't be saved by your works. A sinner can't produce that which is satisfactory to God. You can't get a clean thing out of an unclean thing. And mankind is unclean. Now we read, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. It's repeated again. Here's a judgment for works. If you want it, brother, you're going to get it. If you feel like that you're good enough to stand before God. And we're told, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Nobody's saved here. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You're not found written in the book of life. And how do you get in the book of life? Well, just like you got in the book when you were first born. A record is made of your birth at the hospital. And if your family is a Christian family, they generally have a family Bible. And it's recorded in that family Bible that you were born on this date. And you go from there. And you can get today a birth certificate by just presenting an old family Bible showing where you were born 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And they give you a birth certificate because your name is in the book. And how do you get, therefore, in the family Bible? You were born. You were part of the family. And that's the way you get into the family of God, is by a birth, a new birth. The Lord Jesus said to a very religious man, Nicodemus, you must be born from above. That is, you've got to get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the judgment here is a judgment of works, which reveals works cannot save lost man. This is a very solemn scene, by the way, and a very solemn judgment, if you ask me. All right, now shall we look to God in prayer? Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing today upon your word, and that there may be some today will want their names in the Lamb's Book of Life by simply trusting Christ as Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.